And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND, staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I really do. I hope you had a chance to rest, relax, spend some time with your family, go to church, worship God, and just had a wonderful time. You're probably back at it today. Of course, I know some people have different kinds of schedules, and you're working either on Saturdays and Sundays, or you're working 7 days a week like sometimes I am, and that's okay too. Praise God for the opportunity to be productive every single day of the week. But we all need a little rest, right? All need to get a little relaxation, and we certainly all need some time set aside to honor God. So I hope you had that this weekend. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on American Family Radio. The program is called The Awakening because I am dedicated to trying to wake Americans up and help them see things clearly. Because, look, folks, many of our people are in darkness. They are confused. And they've had help. They've been indoctrinated by the mainstream media. They've been indoctrinated by the entertainment culture. They've been indoctrinated by colleges and universities, even by public schools. And on and on it goes to try to persuade the American people that reality is different than what we've always known it to be. And folks, we are experiencing 1984. And so this program is here to awaken you. And thank God that there's a place where something like this can happen. Because you know you're not going to get this anywhere in the mainstream media. And you're probably not going to get it even on conservative secular radio. Because even conservative talk, conservative, shall we say, news, does not understand that the battle we are in is a spiritual battle. It manifests in a political debate and a political conflict, but at root, it's a spiritual problem. It is a spiritual battle. We're not ultimately talking about Republicans versus conservatives, Republicans versus Democrats, liberals versus conservatives. What we're ultimately talking about is good versus evil, God versus the devil. And most places you're not going to hear that, but that is exactly what is happening, folks. And we want to wake people up to that fact, because if you don't understand what you're facing, you don't understand the nature of the conflict and the nature of the enemy, then you don't really know how to combat it. Is it like I say, the left is just obsessed with race, and racism everywhere, and everybody's a racist, and everybody. And the fact of the matter is that that's not the problem. As I've said, the problem is not racism. The problem is sinism. And people divide and want to hurt each other for all kinds of reasons. And this leftist nonsense that you can only be racist if you're white is just nonsense. Because people have been, if you want to use that term, racist against people who of the same demographic, geographic, physiology, melanin level as they are. Whether it's according to tribe, or it's according to geography, it's according to religion, but they come up with something because it's the fallen human condition. And there's only one antidote, and his name is Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All the protests in the world, and I'm going to talk about this in a second, all the kneeling instead of standing for the flag and disrespecting the national anthem and all this nonsense that people do. Hands up, don't shoot. All this crazy, false narrative that is put forward doesn't do a thing, because all it purports to do, and it doesn't even do that effectively, is to deal with the symptom. Even when it's false, they're still addressing what they believe to be a symptom. But the root is in the corruption and the sinfulness of the human heart. And only God can change that. And so this is where you're going to get that kind of truth. And folks, when I say this, not just my program, but the American Family Radio Network is where you're going to get that kind of truth. And you're frankly not likely to get it almost anywhere else, nowhere else that I can think of. So I'd love to hear from you on this. I'm going to come to your calls here in a segment or so. But let me get a couple things out of the way. You know, every now and by the way, if you want to follow me on Facebook, E.W. Jackson SR is where you'll find me. And I Facebook Live my sermons every Sunday. And if you want to follow my messages, they're there. And I also have a personal Facebook page, Bishop EJ. And we've got Instagram, E.W. Jackson _SR. You can follow me there. And Twitter has banned me. My church does have a Twitter page. It's The Call, Twitter at The Call. And while I haven't been posting much, I'm going to start posting more often, mainly spiritually related things. So you will be able to interact with me on Twitter, only my personal Twitter page has been suspended indefinitely. I guess I'm not their kind of people. I'm not a Twitterite, according to Twitter's perspective, you know. You know what? Isn't that racist? Or maybe it's Twitterist. You know? That's it. They're Twitterists, you know. And they're discriminating against those of us who they don't think to be Twitter-worthy. Folks, that game can be played on ad infinitum and ad nauseum. And I'm simply not going to play that game. Human beings are pretty much all the same. You know that? They really are. They really are. And this idea of the left trying to make these distinctions and folks, it is one of the most disgusting things that has happened here. And just in the last several years that the left has done is to convince many people that white people are the problem. And it's white supremacy and it's white privilege and that all white people are racist and they're the problem. Folks, that is an abomination. It really is. It's an abomination. And, you know, it's based on indoctrination and ignorance. Because people just don't know. They don't know their history. They just don't have a clue about the breadth of human history and the conflicts that have arisen between people based on a whole variety of things. And that race is just one of them. And that, and by the way, that's relatively new because most conflicts up until the 18th century, about the beginning of the 1700s, most conflicts were based on other things. And people used various justifications for the subjugation of other people, often other people who were exactly like them. So Europeans subjugated other Europeans, and Asians subjugated other Asians, and on and on and on it goes. And once people began to travel the world and see areas of geography where the people looked very different than they looked, then that became a justification. But it was just one more justification among the long line of justifications of subjugations of people that has been happening throughout human history. And people who want to focus in on that are just completely missing the point. They're out to lunch. But then again, in terms of truth, they are. But in terms of their political manipulation of other people, oh, they know exactly what they're doing because they're convinced, I think this is a Marxist play, that if you can convince people that they're oppressed on the basis of the color of their skin and that is ultimate reality and that people who don't look like them are all their oppressors, then you can keep the conflict going on forever. It never ends. It never ends. And the vision that I have for our country is a vision where that mess ends completely and totally and forever. And I'm going to keep fighting for that as long as there's breath in my body. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on American Family Radio. This is The Awakening, and we'll be back in a moment.
Yeah. This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Earlier this month, NFL quarterback Drew Brees appeared in a short video to promote Bring Your Bible to School Day. It wouldn't even be worth a mention in most years, but a number of critics slammed him for producing the video since it was a promo video for Focus on the Family. Again, this wouldn't be controversial even a few years ago, but the culture is different now. Social media lit up with claims that Focus on the Family is a religious extremist group and that this organization is anti-LGBTQ. One even argued that it's not right that Drew Brees, who he called a crazed fool, has an NFL job while Colin Kaepernick does not. Fortunately, another commentator suggested Brees has a job in the NFL because he's one of the five best QBs to ever play the game and will own nearly every major record by the time he retires. As for the character of Drew Brees, former NFL running back and former teammate Reggie Bush posted this response. He said, "Anyone who doubts Drew Brees' character or believes bogus headlines about this man does not know him, period. He is a great father, husband, leader, and most of all, true man of God." The drummed-up controversy over Drew Brees' video is merely a minor scuffle in the larger culture war, but it once again reminds us that associating with any organization, including one of the status and positive reputation of Focus on the Family, will invite criticism. Not so long ago, when a celebrity, either an actor, athlete, or civic leader, endorsed an event like See You at the Pole or Bring Your Bible to School Day, the positive publicity enhanced his or her reputation. This latest skirmish will certainly cause many to reconsider whether they want to promote an event that used to be widely praised. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. When 200 people gathered in Boston for a straight pride parade, they were met by 1,000 Antifa counter-protesters ready to protect the city from the homophobic paraders. The mayor of Boston urged the city to turn our backs on hatred and accused the event of organizers of sowing division between people. Guess who else stood against the straight pride event? Representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ayanna Pressley urged their supporters to donate to help bail out the allies and accomplices who, quoting, put themselves on the line protecting the Boston community, unquote. Why do their supporters need bailing out? Because they were arrested for carrying weapons, assaulting police, resisting arrest, and disorderly conduct. These congresswomen are encouraging lawlessness and further lawlessness while promoting division and hatred against those who stand on biblical marriage grounds and traditional American values. Stay awake and pray. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Brian Fisher here. A woman kills her newborn baby, buries it next to a barbecue pit, and gets off because she says she's sorry. Another completely bogus accusation against Donald Trump blows up in Rachel Maddow's face. Justice Kavanaugh is the subject of a demonic false charge. And Democrats are really frosted with Beto O'Rourke. I'll tell you why next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. And that little comment, that brief comment at the opening of the program about how we're trying to wake people up and how the left is using race to try to divide people leads me right into the first topic that I want to share with you. There seems to be a lot of concern right now. The NFL is not expressing it because they don't want to magnify it. But a lot of the football games are filled with empty seats. And there's an article in Breitbart that just goes right down the line and gives you pictures and shows you how many empty seats there are in stadia all over the country while these games are being held. And of course, the NFL is trying not to make a big deal of it, but if you get a chance to read this article, it was in there today, and look at the pictures, I mean, there are a bunch of empty seats in these football stadiums. And I've already written about this, I posted about this on my Facebook page. Look, here's the bottom line. You cannot insult the American people, denigrate our flag, disrespect our national anthem, accuse our country of being a horrible place, and then, forgive that if you hear a little noise, folks. Forgive that. We're working on getting that out of the way, and then be surprised that they lose interest in your event. Now, folks, I was an avid football fan. I mean, it's not my religion, obviously, but I enjoyed football, man. And you know, don't hold it against me, but you know, I spent a lot of years in New England, Parcells got me really hooked on the New England Patriots. Bill Parcells, the tuna, got me really hooked on the New England Patriots because I just, as a coach, I just thought the guy was just, he was a character, you know? I used to watch the game because he would come on and do these press conferences and just read these reporters the riot act over their questions. I just found it entertaining. And I just ultimately became a New England fan. And then, of course, when he got rid of Drew Bledsoe and brought in Tom Brady, and then, of course, the team just kind of it took off and has become a dynasty since then. But you know what? I don't watch it. And it's not that I joined some official boycott or somebody said, you know, stop watching football because we don't like. Folks, they literally wrung the fun out of it for me. I'm serious. They just took away the joy of watching the game because I'm a patriot. I love my country. And I understand people have disagreements with the policies of the country or something they think is wrong in the country, and whether they're right about that or not. And I think Colin Kaepernick is completely wrong in his perspective. But whether they're wrong about that or not, people have issues with the certain things the country does. I mean, I don't like the Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade. I think it is completely wrong-headed. I think it's sinful. I think it's abominable. I think it is not consistent at all with our Constitution or our Declaration, where we are committed to protecting life, liberty. Well, that's life. How can you claim to be protecting liberty or the pursuit of happiness when you're allowing unborn babies to be killed? But folks, that's a policy disagreement that I can work on. That doesn't mean I hate my country, because my country is an ideal that I want to continue to work toward. And so I can still love my country and say, well, you know, I don't agree with that. We're going to work on changing that. I don't agree with that. We're going to work on changing that. But look at all the virtue. Look at all the glory. Look at all the nobility. Look at all the wonderful things that happen in the United States of America that I can celebrate. I don't want to destroy the country. I don't want to denigrate the country. I just want to change that policy. But you see, the left, that's not where they are. I don't care what anybody says, folks. Don't let anybody fool you. These people are expressing hatred for America. It is not just disagreement on a particular policy or something that they think requires change. They are expressing hatred for America. Now, you mean to tell me you can be a league that allows your players to express hatred for the very people who make it possible for you to make the billions of dollars that you make, and you think there aren't going to be consequences? You think people are just going to keep coming to have you slap their jaws every time they show up and insult them and, in effect, spit in their face? All the veterans who've donned the uniform, all the combat veterans who put their lives on the line, and you're going to insult all of them by denigrating the flag that they have fought under and worn that uniform under and been prepared to put their lives on the line for, and you're going to insult that and insult all their families and all their loved ones and all the people that surround them, and then say, yeah, come pay $100 to watch us play. Folks, that's not going to work. And now here's the thing I want to get to about Colin Kaepernick. And so this is happening organically. There's no organized effort to keep people away from football games. It's just like with me. Nobody called me or wrote me or said, you know, why don't you stop watching football? I just said, you know what? I don't need to having worked all week and wanting to enjoy a sports event just to have some fun, just to enjoy it and enjoy the competition. I don't need to sit there and endure somebody insulting me and insulting my country and insulting my flag. I don't need that, because then I can't enjoy it anyway. Because frankly, folks, I'm angry. So what's the point of that? There's no, that's not fun. And it's Roger Goodell. I mean, what an empty suit. I'm serious, folks. You know, he did nothing but pander to that. He took no action. He allowed it to happen. And then when they finally ended it, they in effect allowed themselves to be extorted by these leftists. And so they paid them some money in order to get them to stop kneeling. I mean, it's disgusting to me. And you know, and the thing is, the money they paid, it's going to stuff like Black Lives Matter. These are radical leftist, Marxist, socialist, really communist groups. These people don't represent America or anything about America's future or any hope for a great vision or any hope of making and keeping America great. They want to denigrate America. They want to destroy America. They want to fundamentally transform America into some sort of socialist utopian paradise, which of course means the persecution of anybody who doesn't go along with the socialist ideal, because that's what history has proved always happens. Now, let me point out one other thing. I want to hear what you all think about this. And this is something that's been forgotten. You know, one of the controversies that Colin Kaepernick created back in 2016 is that he wore a shirt that had Fidel Castro and Malcolm X. Well, Fidel Castro was a genocidal murderer. Fidel Castro was one of the most evil people that ever walked the face of the earth. And when he was called on it, I mean, Fidel Castro closed churches, put pastors and priests in prison, had Che Guevara summarily execute people who were considered to be enemies of the state. Fidel Castro was a brutal, bloodthirsty dictator. That's what he was. And he proved that again and again. And if Castro was so great and Cuba was so great, why did so many boat people risk life and limb, the lives of their entire families, to get out of there and come here? If it was so great, you don't see boat people trying to escape America, do you? Even though these leftists complain, you don't see them getting on boats and planes saying, I got to get out of here. This is a terrible place. No. They keep their little backsides parked right here in the place that they claim to be so bad. And as I've said before, Colin Kaepernick and all of his little comrades making millions of dollars, enjoying the very best that life has to offer anywhere in the world as American citizens, the wealth, the freedom, the influence, the prosperity, the fame, all of that they enjoy, and they won't honor the flag under which it happens and the Constitution and the national anthem and the symbols that make it all possible. Well, you all know that he's joined with Nike. Nike's joined with him. So Nike is no longer a business enterprise. Now Nike is an ideological enterprise. And they got an award from some crazy group. Nike and Colin Kaepernick got an award for some commercial that they did. Well, I mean, you can rest assured that it's nothing but a bunch of leftist junk. And folks, don't get me started on that one, because you know what's happening now. Oh, here we go. Is this the? Oh, hold on. Yeah, that was. But look, folks. He got an Emmy Award. He and Nike got an Emmy Award for some stupid commercial that they did. And what that tells me is that Nike has completely disdained half the country by aligning themselves with this man, this very, very foolish man. And so, I don't think I have anything with Nike on it, but I said if I find anything with Nike on it, I'm going to burn it. And I'm going to take a video of burning it so that people see exactly what I think of Nike now. And folks, this stuff is just crazy. And now they're paying the price and they're worried about it. But you know, you reap what you sow. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Once outside Rome, on our way to Naples, we stopped at a restaurant for a rest stop. When we were returning to our bus, we met a couple of men who were peddling watches. They were trying to sell to several members of our group. I noticed a couple who were looking at one watch. The man was asking $130 for the watch. They looked at it for a moment and then gave it back to the man. He then approached me and asked if I wanted it. I told him no, I wasn't interested. He then pulled me aside and said he'd let me have it for $80. Although I wasn't interested in the watch, my bargaining curiosity was aroused, and I told him that it was still too high. He wanted to know if I was the tour leader. I told him that I was. That being the case, he said, he'd let me have it for $50. Well, I looked at the watch again. It was an Omega. Although my knowledge of watches was limited, I remembered that Omega was a pretty good brand of watch. I looked at it a little closer. It looked like a good buy, but the fact remained that I didn't need the watch. I had a good one. I thought about it for a moment and then shook my head and told him I wasn't interested. But he was persistent. And as I walked toward the bus, he asked what I would give for it. Being kind of ridiculous, I told him I'd give him $10. He balked a little and tried to act insulted. I walked on to the bus. He approached some others and tried to sell the watch to them. None were interested. Finally, just before we were ready to leave, he came to the bus and told me he'd take $20. Now, we started at $130. I kind of laughed a little, reached into my pocket, and pulled out a $10 bill. Again, he acted insulted. But as the door was being closed, he ran up, grabbed my $10, and handed me the watch. And all the way home, I thought about my bargain. A watch which he had once asked $130 for, I had bought for only $10. You know, it's not every day you have a chance at a bargain like that. Well, after I'd been home a few days, the watch stopped running. I carried it to the repair shop to get it fixed. It was there that I learned that the watch I had bought was not an Omega at all, but an imitation. Counterfeit. I had been taken. My bargain was no bargain at all. Many times I've thought about that incident and remembered the lesson it taught me. There are many areas to which this truth applies. For instance, many people are attracted to the Christian faith when the cross is left out. Like I was with the watch, they're looking for a bargain. But before long, they become disillusioned. Then they have to face the truth. Christianity minus the cross is no bargain at all. It is counterfeit. Remember that the next time you're offered Christianity at a bargain.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Folks, the number here is 888-589-8840. Now, let me just tell you the other problem that I have. Of course, Nike's gotten this Emmy Award. You know, these awards these days that come out of many circles, and this includes, by the way, the Nobel Prize, they're leftist. They're leftist. An Emmy Award for a Nike ad, and here's what he says in the ad. I wouldn't even play the thing because it's not even worthy of it. But here he says, this is what he says in the ad. Believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything. Don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough. Well, folks, think about this. Think about this. You could apply that to the terrorists that attacked us on 9/11. They believed in something. And they believed in it strong enough that they were willing to sacrifice everything, including their lives, and willing to murder 3,000 people. This is what passes for wisdom today. And he gets an award for that, believe in something? I mean, does it remind you of what Ilhan Omar said? Some people did something. That's how she described the attack on 911. Some people did something. Well, Colin Kaepernick sounds like he's commending them. He says, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. I mean, what sophistry, what specious, silly, stupid nonsense. Believe in something, even if it costs you everything. I mean, give me a break. How about believing in God and in righteousness as he defines it? How about believing in absolute morality as God has delineated it? How about believing in loving and serving others rather than dividing and demagoguing others? And I can hear the left saying, yeah, but isn't that what you do? Don't you do that against the quote unquote LGBT? No, I don't. Because I always say, we love them. We pray for them. We want them delivered. We don't hate anybody. We're not looking to kill anybody, destroy anybody, harm anybody. What we're saying is there's something better that God has for you. And if you expect us to just sit back and go along because that's the price of getting your approval, it ain't gonna happen. Okay, it's just not going to happen. That to me would be the same kind of abuse that you would accuse a parent of if that parent said, well, I know my child's engaging in self-destructive behavior, but I love him too much to say anything about it. Well, that's not love. The Bible says that a parent who does not chastise his child hates his child. Well, I know that these are not children, but I'm applying the principle. And the principle is, if I see you engaging in something that is self-destructive, of course I'm going to point it out to you. Doesn't mean I hate you. And I say all the time, if I were to see somebody trying to harm someone who happened to be a homosexual or a transgender or a drag queen or gender fluid or whatever category they think they belong in, I would defend that person against that attack. That's right. I would defend them against that attack. Because God loves people. He doesn't want to hurt people. He doesn't want to harm people. He doesn't want to condemn people. But listen, he loves everybody, but that doesn't mean that everything that everybody does pleases him. I mean, you understand the distinction? But I get the sense that people like Colin Kaepernick and his ilk, they would destroy this country. I'm serious. I think they would destroy it. You say, well, why would you say that? Well, when you constantly beat the drum, I mean, like, police brutality, for example. Okay, you think there's an issue there? Fine. You've got a First Amendment right to say what you think and express it. But what you don't have, in my view, is a right to use your employer's platform that has been set up to entertain me as a way of sticking in my face stuff that I didn't tune in to deal with. You want to take your millions and go out and create a platform for yourself and say whatever you want to say? Listen, you know what? I defend your right to do so. I'm serious about that. I really do. But get your facts straight. And the fact of the matter is, there's no epidemic of police brutality against black people. That's a myth. It's a myth. They're trying to apply the paradigm of Bull Connor in the 1950s to the 21st century, and it just doesn't work. Because most police departments in most urban areas across the country are majority, if not close to majority, minority anyway. They're majority black and Hispanic. It just doesn't work. The fact of the matter is you're dealing with the epidemic that you're dealing with is an epidemic of violent crime in the inner cities that is terrorizing the law-abiding citizens in those inner cities. And that's the real issue. That's what's taking the lives of young people and women and innocent people who have done nothing to anyone and end up killed because they happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time in the wrong part of the city, and some idiot who thinks that he's got a right to shoot off his gun to try to kill somebody that he's got some kind of vendetta against doesn't care who else gets hurt. Now that's the problem that the inner city is facing. That's the problem that young black men are facing, not the police. And you want to kneel to the flag because, oh, there's an epidemic. And by the way, when he was accused, or challenged, I should say, about wearing a flag with Fidel Castro's image on it, he says, well, and they said, well, Fidel Castro, you know, killed people. Well, we're doing the same thing here. And you know what I say? If you don't know the distinction between a communist totalitarian country and the United States of America, if you can't make that distinction, you don't need to be playing football. You need to be in an asylum somewhere and getting some treatment. I'm serious, because you've lost complete touch with reality. If you can't see the distinction, I can't help you. You need professional help. I mean, I'll pray for you, but you need a divine intervention probably, because I think psychiatrists may not even be able to help you with that kind of deep delusion. And then he justified it by saying, but you know, the literacy rate in Cuba is great. Castro made sure that all the Cubans can read. Yeah, yeah. Well, first of all, that's probably a lie. But secondly, what good does it do to read if all you can read is what the dictator tells you you may read? I mean, come on. Anything and anybody but our country. Oh, Fidel Castro's great. Cuba's great. Oh, but the United States of America, it's terrible. It's terrible. Sitting on your millions of dollars, that if you lived in Cuba and you criticize Castro the way you criticize our country, you'd be locked up in a jail cell somewhere. And here you get a contract with a major sports paraphernalia company that makes you even richer than you already were playing football. And you are complaining? Folks, I just have no patience with it. I have no patience with this stuff whatsoever. So that little award that they gave him, they can flush that thing down the toilet because it's worthless. It's nothing but a bunch of leftists patting each other on the back for their racial demagoguery and their denigration of our country. That's all that is. And it's nothing more. The number is 888-589-8840. And I'll come right to the line. I don't think I have time right now before this next break. But thank you all for your patience in allowing me to rant a little bit here. Because this is, folks, I just don't have patience with multimillionaires who could not make a scintilla of what they make in the United States of America if they were living somewhere else, born somewhere else, and yet they sit around and complain about how bad America is. Well, then do me a favor and leave. Back in a moment.
Daryl Strawberry was an 8-time Major League All-Star and part of 4 World Series championships. He had money and fame, but he strayed from Christ and was searching to find his true identity.
Inside, I had nothing. I was empty inside. I was bankrupt inside, you know, and I needed to fulfill what was going on inside of me, so I used drugs. I was a liar. I was a cheater. I was a womanizer. I was an alcoholic, and I was a drug addict. And I was a sinner, saved by grace, because God's grace is sufficient for all of us. God, that's the thing about Jesus. Jesus don't care about, you know, what you are. He cares about redeeming you and liberating you and bringing you to the place and purpose of why you have been created, so you can walk in the fullness of what he's called you for.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive. Hear more from Daryl Strawberry at FamilyMinute.org.
Hey, want to go shopping later?
Yeah, sure. Where you want to go?
Oh, we can go to JCPenney's, Belk, Target.
Whoa, wait. I was with you until you said Target.
What's wrong with Target?
What's wrong with Target? You mean besides the fact that they have an open door policy that lets men into women's restrooms, that Target?
Wait, what?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, before we go, grab your laptop, go to AFA.net, and sign the pledge to boycott Target.
Okay, I'm on it.
Hi, Frank Turek, co-author of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Please join me, Stephen Meyer, Gary Habermas, Hugh Ross, Chip Ingram, and many more at the 2019 SES National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 11th and 12th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Whether you're new to apologetics or a seasoned veteran, you will walk away better equipped to engage the culture. Online sales end October 8th. For tickets and details, visit conference.ses.edu. That's conference.ses.edu.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Thank you all for your patience. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's come right to the lines. We've got Leonard from Virginia. Welcome, Leonard. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Bishop Jackson. I appreciate your comments. I just wanted to make this statement and a comment a little bit about it, is that we as followers of Christ, you know, we should be the least offended people. And I say that because we have been given amazing grace, unmerited favor, amazing mercy, and the gift of salvation because of Jesus. And so when people offend us, our response is love because of the love of Christ that we have received from him first. Shouldn't we be the least offended of people on earth? And also the fact that Jesus is the most offended in terms of being offensive, hurled at someone. He has been the most offended person, yet he responds by dying for his people. Mm-hmm. and not
Leonard, you are absolutely right. But so our response to people has always got to be love. I would just remind you that the way Jesus loved people, particularly people who were sold out to a way of life that was contrary to what he was teaching, was to correct them. And I think that while we should never get into hatred and we should never get into unforgiveness, we do have to be about correcting people so that they have a chance to know and hear the truth, because frankly, they're certainly not going to know and hear it from most of the mainstream media that is out there today. But Leonard, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate the point. Let's go to Connor in Texas. Connor, welcome. Connor, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, Connor. Go right ahead.
All right, yeah. So I was just curious. You were talking about Kaepernick hating the flag, and I was wondering what you thought about the idea of him just kind of being critical about it and him kind of express critique in that way to get people's focus on that. Because I think that there's an element of love that comes from critique, because it's trying to point out where people are being, not treated right or something like that. So I was curious what your thoughts are on the idea of critique not being for hatred, but even being for the sake of love.
Well, listen, I think, again, you make a good point. Here's what I have said. I don't agree with abortion. And the Supreme Court of my country has said that abortion is right and legal and appropriate and acceptable. And I don't like that one bit. And I critique that all the time. But I don't critique it by denigrating the entire country. I don't critique it by saying to all those people who have fought and bled and died for our freedom under that flag, you're a bunch of stupid idiots for having done so. And while you may respect that flag, I don't. And I don't critique it by failing to acknowledge the many profound blessings that we have in this country. I mean, so for example, I don't agree with abortion, but guess what? I have the perfect right to say so and to say so and to say so and to say so. And so while we are critiquing our country, we also have to affirm the blessing that God has given us in it. You could say the same thing about Christianity, by the way. Christianity, as it's Jesus, is perfect. But Christianity, as expressed through the hearts of human beings, is not, because human beings can be pretty messed up even after they become Christians. So sometimes we have to critique Christianity and say, whoa. You know, like the conflicts that go on in churches and some of the abuses that pastors engage in. And it's perfectly appropriate to critique those things. It is not appropriate to say, well, therefore, I'm not going to recognize that Bible, and I'm not going to recognize the Christian flag, and I'm not going to recognize the church. Now you've gone to hating the entire institution, and the institution is more than the behavior of any individual, any particular church. It is an ideal, and the ideal has been given to us by Almighty God. And I feel exactly the same way about America. I honor the ideal that I believe God gave us in this country, and I will continue to work for that. And when I will critique those particular issues that I think require critiquing, but always uphold my honor and my respect for the country as a whole. And that's the distinction that I would make there. Okay. Thank you, Connor, for the call. Kenny from Oklahoma. Thank you, Kenny, for the call.
Bishop Jackson, we are so glad that you are our new host on American Family Radio. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I would like to thank you, sir, for having the integrity and the courage to stop watching the NFL for respect for your country. I thank you so much for that. Can we please, as Christians, take this to another logical, godly step, and the Christians across America who say they love the Lord Jesus Christ, stop watching all of the filth on television, the profanity, the adultery, the fornication. If you say you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be watching all of that trash and filth and lust. Bishop Jackson, that's one of the most detrimental things that's happening to the church today, because we have pastors and people attending our churches who just think they have the right to watch all of that filth and trash on television and on DVDs, and that is so displeasing to God the Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say again, I appreciate you very much, Bishop Jackson.
Thank you, Kenny. Thank you for the call. And listen, Kenny, you're right. I mean, the entertainment industry, if you look back on where it was 50 years ago, the entertainment industry, and by the way, there kind of bifurcations began to happen in Ronald Reagan's day. When Ronald Reagan first became an actor, Hollywood tended to uphold American values and to extol heroism and to extol courage and to extol purity and those kinds of virtues, tended to affirm those. And then something began to happen, and it happened really apparently during and after World War II, where it became in vogue to honor and, well, at the very least, to in some way celebrate the dark character, to celebrate the black hat, if you will, the person who is the anti-hero. And that has been taken to a whole new level by the time we get to our time. I mean, the entertainment industry has just gone completely off the rails. Well, when you reject God, folks, you just go stupid, and there's no limit to the depths of depravity which and to which you will sink when you reject God. And by and large, I think our entertainment industry has rejected God. Let's go to Craig in Oklahoma. Craig, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me on your show or for speaking with me. I heard something somebody said, I heard you mention it just a little bit ago about all the, I guess all the people in Cuba are able to read. Did I hear that right?
That's what Colin Kaepernick, when he was defending wearing Fidel Castro's picture on a shirt, he said, well, at least Fidel Castro made sure that all the Cubans were literate and Americans haven't really done that. And so he was basically favorably comparing Cuba to America and saying that Castro did a better job in the treatment of his people in terms of education than Americans have.
Well, you know, from what I've heard, Cubans, I don't think they're allowed to have internet, and I don't think they're allowed to have a typewriter. What good does reading do if all you can get is propaganda? You know? Yeah, I mean, exactly. I think our Facebook and some of our other stuff is trying to go. Now, they're not government, but I don't understand that either. Why a private industry would go so much against this God-blessed country?
Listen, Craig, let me get on because we're almost out of time. But I think it's because they've been indoctrinated in the same schools that Colin Kaepernick and so many others have. And they're all in agreement that America is a terrible place. And it's almost a moral psychosis, as I've said, where you can't see how blessed you are. And the only thing you can see is somehow this country is a terrible place. And yet you are living in a life that is the envy of the world. Let me get back to Eric. I think I may have skipped Eric inadvertently. Eric, that was a mistake. I think you've been waiting a while. Eric from Texas. Go right ahead, Eric. Are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing great. How about you?
Doing fine. I just want to let you know what a homeless vet told me. He told me flat out, says, I care less what an NFL player does. An NFL player didn't abandon me after my service. I did 16 years in the military, suffered from PTSD, and my government abandoned me after my service. I'm homeless, got nowhere to turn to. Who do I blame? My government. Will I stand again? No. He says, I served 16 years just to have my government abandon me. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. Well, first of all, I really don't think that the government has abandoned any veterans. I think we have made some mistakes in the way we've dealt with our veterans. There's no question about that. I think dealing with some of the results of the Vietnam War, the government's made some mistakes there. The Gulf War, same thing. There seems to be a reluctance to acknowledge when our men have been injured in ways that are not easily recognizable. But here again, I think that's a human problem. I think the American people want our veterans treated right. And woe to the politician who the American people think has mistreated our veterans. But look, let's face it. I mean, our veterans come back. They have mental issues. They have physical issues. They have alcohol and drug issues. So while I'm not going to give the government an A for its treatment of veterans, I don't think it's as simple as to say that your government has abandoned you. I do care what Colin Kaepernick does only because, he culturally influences so many young people, and I don't want young people thinking that his behavior is acceptable, so I'm going to come against it every time I have an opportunity. Folks, that's going to do it. I know it's really quick, but I'll be back in about 23 hours, okay? So in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.